Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Streams of living water will flow from the hearts of they who believe. I was struck, as I'm sure all of you were this past Tuesday, the flash floods, College Hill Park being completely immersed in water. I was walking by the streets at times in between those downpours of heavy rain, looking at the streams and the gutters, and thought any dam that I could have possibly configured with leaves, with stones, with sticks, could not have stood a chance at all whatsoever against those torrents that were flowing along the sides of the street. How fitting of an image for all of us. Water that drenches the earth, drenches it. Streams of living water, its fluidity, its pervasiveness, its quickness and movement. Here we are flowing to the altar, the incense, the light pouring through this smoke that surrounds the altar, playing with this smoke, not obstructed by it. Light striking the vibrant colors of red, a fire. The altar is on fire with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light, beautiful images, light that plays, that dances, that plays before the Father all the while, plays before the Son all the while. Some time ago, at a wonderful opportunity, as we all do, we know this experience, a text message from a friend, a picture message, even better. And I saw a picture message from a friend, a woman, a young woman. And this picture had no words, no description, but it was of her left hand. And not just the left hand, but what my eye was immediately drawn to was the ring upon her finger. And I knew the joy. I knew the joy that was in her heart. I knew the joy that anointed her face because of that beautiful moment. And I had an opportunity this past week to have lunch with her, to see this ring in person and to study it in the context, in that setting of the joy of her heart, this providence of the Father, his plan for her throughout all of time, and wondrously and magnificently unveiled, revealed, and her being drawn into this great joy that the Father had prepared for her. And as I looked at this ring, stunned by its beauty, I recognized many things. One, a sign of its covenantal fidelity, the oath that they were to take before God here before too long, the promise of their faithfulness to one another. That ring is a sign of that. A new identity, a new name for a woman, but still a new identity even for the man to become husband and perhaps one day father by the grace of God. Husband and father, wife, mother, man and woman made one, a new identity, a beautiful image of grace, covenantal fidelity, a new identity. And as I examined this ring, it was resounding in its beauty, in its splendor. Why? Because everything was fitted together. Nothing was competing for attention. And in fact, the whole thing was designed so that the diamond might be the focal point of attention. The ring was designed so that the diamond could shine forth when the light hit it, and shone forth it did. A striking image for us, I think, because on this holy day, the church reveals to us the setting for this diamond that is the glory of this high, high feast of the church. The culmination of the season of Easter, not its tragic conclusion. The completion that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not in the substitute of the person of Jesus Christ, but the promise of the Son, the advocate, the gift, the seal of the Holy Spirit. The Feast of Pentecost wasn't something that was completely new at this moment that we celebrate today. It was something alive in the heart of the Jewish people for long before, commanded by God, the Feast of Weeks. And it was 50 days after the celebration of Passover. Why 50 days? Because it's 7 times 7. We hear this in the gospel, this image, this fullness, this resplendence, these torrents of living water, 7 times 7. That is to say, the most intense that it can get. It is 7 times 7. 7 weeks after the celebration of Passover, where, of course, Moses leads the people of Israel out of slavery through the desert and into the promised land. 50 days after that, it's celebration. And not only does it call to mind those moments of the Passover, holding them out before us like a sustained note for 50 days. It's a celebration of the spring harvest, the fruits of the earth. And they would take the first of their crops and offer them to the Lord because it's springtime. What is that supposed to ask us or to make us realize? My brothers and sisters, that this is the eternal springtime that the Father has prepared for us. This day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and for the heart of the Christian, every moment is a moment of springtime. Whether it feels like the fall, whether it feels like winter, whether it feels like springtime, or whether it feels like summer, the Holy Spirit is producing fruits in our heart, and we're called not to go pick from the garden or pastures of our homes, but from the fields of our heart. From the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks, these streams of living water. This is what we're called to bring, to cut, to harvest, and to consecrate to the Lord, these fruits of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, that this Feast of Weeks is the celebration of those things that happened during the Passover time. Moses going up on the mountain, he went up. He went to an upper room, a place above the mundaneness of the world. He went up to the upper room on the mountain, and he spoke with the Lord, and the Lord responded with thunder. And the mountain was not so proud anymore, not standing firm, jagged, proud, tall above the earth. It shook. It shook because of the power of the glory of the Lord. The presence of the Lord overshadowing this mountain, overshadowing Moses. Fire, the sign of the presence of God, burning its mark into that place. We're told this in our story, that they went to the upper room and the room shook and trembled just as the mountain did. And we're called on this day, my brothers and sisters, not to remember an earthquake of a mountain, a trembling of a room, but the shaking of our souls at the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, his glory, lavishly poured upon us. These torrents of living water that flow forth from our hearts because we have been given this first payment of the Holy Spirit at the moment of our baptism. That is to say, adorning and anointing every moment of our life. That is the glory of this beautiful day. That as they celebrated the law given on Mount Sinai, we celebrate the fact that this Spirit, this Advocate, the Comforter, the Consoler, doesn't write the law on stone, but writes it upon our hearts. He writes it upon our hearts. The hand of the Son with his wounds, writing it upon our hearts, and he takes away our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. That is what we celebrate on this beautiful day. This covenantal identity that the Lord has established with us. And this new identity that he has inscribed in our hearts, for he has claimed us as his own. You are mine. I am yours. This is this beautiful new identity that he has given to us, not to wear on our hands with a ring, but the seal of the Holy Spirit burned into our hearts. And what a marvelous day this is. We hear this word, this phrase, the upper room. And it ought to resonate with us. Anytime these words are said, it ought to strike other moments that those words come up. And unfortunately for us, we miss one of the biggest moments. For our Blessed Lady, our mother, as she was to give birth to Christ, the anointed, the Savior of the world, Son of Man, Son of David. She goes to the inn, but there's no room in the inn. The no vacancy sign is on. Wrong. The word is upper room. There's no room in the upper room. Why? Because a woman giving birth makes the place ritually unclean. There was no room in the upper room. But on this day, my brothers and sisters, there is room in the upper room. There is plenty of room in the upper room. Why? Because its walls have fallen down and been rebuilt around us in the embrace of the Father. And the wounds inscribed in the hands and feet and side of our dear Lord. And this overshadowing of the Holy Spirit comes upon the Blessed Mother one more time, not to give birth to Christ again, but to give birth to the church. And on this day, my brothers and sisters, we are made new, and we are given to drink deeply, deeply of the Holy Spirit, and continually be surprised, full of awe and wonder at what he can do. He whose name is the Lord, whose name is the Holy Spirit. So let us drink deeply of this cistern of living waters that overflows our hearts. May we cut forth the first fruits of our heart and bring them to the altar that they may be burned up, make these flowers no longer look so vibrant, and be consumed by this holocaust, this burnt offering of love. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth.